Well, I'm going to read now, and you're hearing the 13th chapter of this last chapter in the book of Hebrews. And I'm going to try and open up before you verse number 9. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, in the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them which have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, and all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter to you in few words. Know you that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. And may we know that grace better this afternoon. You may be seated. In light of the verse that I have reached in Hebrews 13, verse number 9, there is an exhortation and a warning that I want to begin with, especially since the verse is written right after the truth of verse 8, declaring the glorious truth about Jesus Christ that I sought to open up this morning. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. What is that exhortation to you, as if you were the only one sitting here? What is that exhortation? Never stop your personal intake of the Word of God. Never stop your personal intake of the written Word of God, seeking especially to see how it shows to you and declares to you truths, not only about the living, true, and only God of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but how He alone can be known correctly through His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's final Word to mankind, as revealed and declared in His written word, the Holy Bible. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, why do I give you this exhortation in light of the verse that we have reached, verse 9? Because if you don't take it personally and seriously, you will not be able to protect yourself from all the false and dangerous ideas, even ideas that false teachers in the church will try and deceive you with, even twisting the scriptures to mislead and deceive you. Now, why, you might be asking, and I've given you this exhortation and warning, because verse 9 is another gospel imperative. that warns you about this very reality. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. That's an imperative. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Friends, how many different and strange doctrines have fallen men developed over the last 2,000 years up to and including today? How many new ones will he yet develop that he expects you to believe? Because he's developed it out of his own fallen mind, not being guided by the Word of God. Different and strange doctrines that contradict the clear teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ and about the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how many there are, friends, and to be honest, I don't want to know. I want to keep close. I want to keep close to Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, so that I'm not misled, so that I'm not deceived by any of them. And friends, I hope you're not annoyed and offended at my repeated exhortation and the imperative of this verse, for in a very short period of time, you are going to leave this meeting house. And who knows how many of these different and strange doctrines, these strange teachings, these strange ideas you are going to be exposed to, hopefully not willingly. For I can preach the Word of God, and I can seek to open up the truth of a verse of Scripture like verse 9, but unless you take its truth to heart, unless, as I said, you think that you're the only one in this meeting house this afternoon, and it's like you're having a private preaching service, unless you take its truth to heart and apply it personally, crying out to the Lord for the grace needed to remember and apply it, I don't know what weird and not wonderful ideas you may be exposed to this week. Not only exposed to, but in danger of succumbing to, if the truth of this verse is not remembered and personally applied. Be not carried about is another gospel imperative in this chapter. In other forms, the word is used to refer to those who are carried by others into the presence of Jesus for healing. Mark 6:55, and ran through the whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they had heard he was. It was used by Paul in Ephesians 4:14 with a similar warning, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, wherein they lie in wait to deceive. Believer, neutrality is impossible in this fallen world. It's impossible to be neutral in this fallen world, because if you are not filling your mind with the truths of the Word of God and remembering the truths of the Word of God and applying them, the world, the flesh, and the devil will be filling your mind with lies and false teachings. You give up reading, you give up studying, you give up believing what the written Word of God teaches as expounded and opened up by the Lord Jesus Christ and His chosen apostles, and I have no way of knowing, you have no way of knowing what strange and different things you will start believing. See, friends, you're not like a rock. See, if we were to bring in a big rock, a 2-ton rock, and sit it in this place, from week to week, it wouldn't change. But you go out into this world, and you're going to hear all manner of things this week. You turn on the radio, you listen to some prognosticator on the radio, you read an article in the paper, and if you are not on your guard, you could be deceived. You could be misled by all the strange ideas that men think you should believe in our world today. As I said, neutrality is impossible. Because how many strange and false doctrines can be traced back to the rejection of the truth of the Word of God, the Holy Bible? How many? All of them, friends. Every single one of them. And don't miss the fact in this one verse that although the writer gives one example of a strange or foreign doctrine or teaching with reference to meat or foods, he uses the plural at the beginning of this verse. Be not carried about with diverse, plural, and strange, not just doctrine, but strange doctrines, plural. The unbelieving mind deceived by the devil is not a never-ending idol maker and worshiper, but it's a never-ending strange or foreign doctrine designer. The word divers here is used to refer to who were brought to Jesus for healing, those who had diverse diseases, different diseases. Mark 1:34, and he healed many of them that were sick of diverse diseases and cast out many devils. It's used to describe the lusts that silly women are able to be deceived by. 2 Timothy 3:6, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. It is used to describe all the various lusts believers served before the Lord saved you, believer. Titus 3:3, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish or once foolish. The word strange is used in other verses to refer to someone you don't know or someone not native to a city or a country, that is a foreigner, as well as something surprising or unheard of. Matthew 25:35, for I was hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Acts 17:18, then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him and said, what will this babbler say? Others, some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear something new. Ephesians 2:12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens, being foreigners, being strangers from the commonwealth of Israel and from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Friends, the popularity of a teaching, the success of a teaching, does not mean that it is not still a strange and foreign doctrine or teaching. Foreign to what? Strange according to what? The teaching of the Word of God, the teaching of the Bible, the teaching of Jesus, God's final word to mankind. Believer, never put your mind in neutral. Never put your mind in neutral. The devil loves it when believers put their minds in neutral, thinking, I don't have to concern myself with what is being said or what is being supported. I'll just lay back and kick back and put my mind in neutral. It won't matter to me what that person is saying or what they're doing. Don't be surprised if you're deceived. Don't be surprised if you are misled. Because what if a strange doctrine or a strange teaching is what is being said? Something that's not true about God, something that's not true about man. A doctrine or a teaching foreign to the Scriptures. Friends, how many doctrines, how many teachings, not only in the world, but in the church today, are foreign to the Scriptures of God? The number of people following a teacher means nothing if what they're teaching is foreign and strange to the Scriptures. Amen. It just means they're following a false teacher, a dangerous teacher. But the challenge for you, the challenge for me is, well, I don't know if what I'm hearing is foreign and strange to what the Bible teaches. Well, that means you better start studying the Bible. You better start reading the Bible. You better be able to say, everything you hear this week, if you don't bring it back to the touchstone of Scripture, don't blame me if you're deceived and misled. Oh, well, I'll just listen to what he's saying and I won't care whether or not what he says is true or not. No, you bring everything back to the Word of God. Friends, that's why whenever you hear the idol Mother Nature, you don't say, oh, well, no big deal. No, there's no idol called Mother Nature. God's giving you the weather that we've had today, that you'll have tomorrow, that you'll have all this week. And when you hear men refer to the earth as a planet, you say, there's nothing in the scriptures that calls the earth a planet. And when you hear men refer to the sun as a star, there's nothing in the scriptures that refer to the sun as a star. It's always differentiated from the stars in scripture. That's what I mean, friends. You don't allow anyone, even this preacher, because he raises his voice. Well, it's got to be true. He just raised his voice. Friends, if you think something's true because I raise my voice, don't be surprised if you're deceived and misled. The scriptures are the touchstone of everything you hear. Friends, how many doctrines, how many teachings, not only in the world but in the church today, are foreign to the scriptures of God? And unless you're bringing everything you hear back to the Word of God, don't be surprised if you're misled. You'd better start studying the Bible for yourself if you're not, and know someone willing to rest what they tell you or teach you on the scriptures alone. But so-and-so teaches it. So-and-so teaches it. Oh, well, then you better believe it. Does what he teaches agree with the scriptures? No. So why are you believing it? It can still be a strange doctrine, foreign to the scriptures. But look at how many people are listening to him. Look at how many books he writes. Look at how many seminars he can fill. So, he can still be teaching strange doctrines, foreign to the scriptures. So what if the whole world embraces a teaching foreign to the scriptures? You are not to be carried away with it, believer. What did Martin Luther say? Here I stand unless I'm convinced by scripture. The whole apostate Roman Catholic Church doesn't agree with you, Luther. So what? It contradicts the scripture. End of story. It's still a strange doctrine foreign to the scripture. Friends, what did Priscilla and Aquila do when they heard Apollos incorrectly expounding the scriptures? What did they do? Oh, well, everyone is entitled to their own ideas as to what the scriptures teach, even though they are foreign to what the scriptures teach. I mean, who are we to tell such a dynamic speaker as Apollos that he's wrong? Is that what they did? Is that what they did, friends? You know the answer if you know the scriptures. That's not what they did. Acts 18:26, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. You're not preaching the word of God correctly, Apollos. You're not preaching the truth about Christ correctly, Apollos. And they showed him from the scriptures. Believer, this imperative not to be carried away by strange doctrines, doctrines foreign to the teachings of scripture, is not here to fill up space. It's an imperative of warning to you. Because you live in a world that does not base what it thinks, says, and does on the Word of God. Do you? Do you live in a world that bases what it thinks, says, and does on the Word of God? You know it. You are going back into a world that mocks, rejects, ridicules the teachings of the Scriptures. How far do you think a believer would get at one of these idolatrous political rallies if he was to get up and say, but Mr. President, what you are saying does not have the support of the Scriptures, the Word of God. Friends, there was a man who ran for the leadership of the Republican Party who held forth a biblical foreign policy, and he was booed. Oh, just try and get up at any political rally today, regardless of its flavor, and declare that women in public office are a sign of the judgment of God upon a culture according to the scriptures. Just see how far you get. Just see if you'd get safely out of that rally. But be honest with me, friends. How many things are taught in the churches? Even in Baptist and Reformed churches that are strange doctrines and foreign to the scriptures. How many pride themselves in saying that the scriptures are the final authority in faith and practice in this fellowship? Until what they believe and practice, beliefs and practices foreign to the scriptures, are challenged by the scriptures. From women teaching men publicly, to denominations having their own usury generating and supporting operations, to name just two that I have encountered in my time being a believer in Christ. Oh, I've touched the rail of women in public office in a denomination in Canada that didn't want that rail touched. And I touched the rail of the Baptist Foundation, didn't I? And one of those in support of the Baptist usury generating foundation in Canada saying, "What's your agenda?" What? I don't have an agenda. The only agenda I have is to bring all our practice back to the teaching of the Word of God. Amen. Oh, friends, how many say, "Oh, the Bible is the final authority in doctrine and practice," until the Bible challenges that doctrine and that practice. But in the latter part of verse 9, the writer addresses a specific form of the multitude of different and strange doctrines that you need to be on guard against being carried away with. The idea, the strange doctrine, that the food you eat or don't eat somehow improves or enhances your relationship with God or your spirituality. "Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats or foods, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein." This was a very popular teaching that the scribes and Pharisees had developed, but that Jesus put an end to when he declared all foods clean, because it was not what went into the stomach that defiled a person spiritually, but what came out of his heart. As seen in Mark 7, 18 to 23, "And he saith unto them, Are ye so without understanding? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth in, not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out in the draught, purging all meats. And he said, That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." But that this truth was not being listened to can be seen by the fact that the writer of Hebrews has to give you this teaching here. But not only Hebrews 13:9, it's even seen by what Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, 1 to 5. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and what? Commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." And this, friends, is truth that the premier false teacher, the Pope, has ignored and deceived how many, as seen by the number who thinking not eating meat on Fridays or on Wednesdays during the made-up religious idea of Lent is a mark of true spirituality. Oh, I'm more holy than you. Why? Because I don't eat meat on Fridays. Oh, I'm more holy than you because I gave up bubblegum for Lent. Now, the writer of Hebrews is not addressing the question of good nutrition. Something not to be opposed to in view of the fact that a believer's body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we are to do all to the glory of God. Truth that Paul declares specifically with reference to eating and drinking. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And the writer is not contradicting the clear teaching of Acts 15 regarding things offered to idols that was prevalent in pagan Rome. And which Paul warns against doing in 1 Corinthians 10. Because you do not want to have fellowship with demons, do you, believer? I think not. What the writer of Hebrews is addressing are those who see abstaining from meats, abstaining from foods as a means of sanctification or holiness. As I mentioned, I don't eat meat on Fridays. I gave up this or that for Lent. Believer, your heart, your soul, your mind needs to be established in the truth that it is the grace of God alone through Christ Jesus alone and His finished work alone that makes you right with God, not the abstaining from something given by God for your benefit and your enjoyment. For by the grace of God are you saved. For by the grace of God are you sanctified, not by abstaining from food. For by grace are you glorified. And this was obviously a recurring problem in the first century church, because you not only see the writer of Hebrews addressing it here in verse 9, Paul writing to Timothy about it as quoted above, but Paul had to write to correct this error in the church in Colossae as well, writing about it in his letter to the believers in Colossae, Colossians 2, 20 to 23. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. And be honest, friends, how many different fad diets have unbelieving men developed? How many different fad diets have unbelieving men developed? And I'm not referring to those who, for health and comfort reasons, abstain from certain foods like those containing gluten or those that cause some other form of health problem. Jack Spratt could not eat uncooked onions, but his wife could not eat no gluten. That's not what the writer is referring to here. But friends, how many people look down on others, both inside and outside, because they eat or do not eat something, or follow or do not follow some new fad diet? Atkins, paleo, ketogenic, that's just three. And who knows what other diet fad and craze is on the horizon? But if man was not a never-ending, unbiblical, and unnecessary strange doctrine maker, you would not have all these various diets that unbelieving men have developed and continue to develop to write their books and make their millions on. People are more concerned about their bodies as they totally ignore their souls. But friends, eating fish on Fridays and not eating meat on Fridays, or eating fish on Fridays and not eating meat on Fridays, is not going to get you any closer to God. How many lost religious people will give up something they like to eat for Lent, but will continue to live for the world, the flesh, and the devil? Friends, in addition to all the other verses in Hebrews that shows you that Romanism is a cult and not Christian, here's another one. Friends, how many more false teachings and strange and foreign doctrines to the scriptures developed and endorsed by the man of sin in Rome, the Pope, is he going to have to develop and make binding on those he has and is deceiving before apostate evangelicals are going to acknowledge that the Church of Rome, as it presently is constructed, is a false and apostate church that is not built upon the Lord Jesus Christ? And that it does not hold to or contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Because, friends, will it profit a devout Catholic on Judgment Day that they've given up certain things because the man of sin told them to do so? Will it help them on Judgment Day, brethren? No! Well, I gave up this. I didn't eat meat every Friday for all my life. So, did you trust in Christ Jesus alone to save you from your many sins? No. Friends, there is no grace in Roman Catholicism. It is pure religious blindness and bondage. Do this, don't do that. Friends, I agree with a departed believer I cannot remember the name of, who said that one of the reasons, not the only reason, but one of the reasons that the Holy Spirit moved the writer of Hebrews to write the book of Hebrews was not just for the protection and instruction of believing Jews in the first century who were being attempted to return to apostate Judaism because of the still standing earthly temple, an earthly temple that would soon be destroyed forever despite the desire of unbelieving Jews and false Christians who want to see it rebuilt today. But the Holy Spirit also inspired him to write what he does because the Holy Spirit foresaw the rising up of the man of sin and the whole corrupt system of Romanism that these usurpers called popes have built up over the centuries to mislead and deceive the souls of lost Catholics. Because will all the sacraments of Rome help a lost Catholic on Judgment Day? I ask you in all honesty. Will all the things they've done and not done help a lost Catholic on Judgment Day? Not trusting in Christ Jesus alone to make them right with God. If you know your Bible, believer, you know what the only answer is. But the imperative of warning of this verse is not limited to the cult of Romanism. How many other false Christian cults bind the consciences of those they are deceiving and keep them in bondage over teaching that they will be more holy and closer to God by giving up caffeinated drinks? You know what's a no-no in Seventh-day Adventism? Caffeine. Caffeine. It's a dangerous thing within Seventh-day Adventism. Caffeinated drinks. Mm-mm-mm. Believer, if you want to forego caffeine because you find that it does not benefit you, fine. That's your liberty in Christ. But don't make it binding on the life of anyone else. For the Christian life is not meat and drink, but joy in the Holy Spirit. Paul teaches giving up something you can legitimately enjoy for the sake of a weaker brother, but not for a legalist. And someone who thinks he's closer to God because of something he doesn't eat or drink. Romans 14, 19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine or anything whereby my brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in this thing which he alloweth. Friends, I've seen in my Christian experience someone who is so convinced that ingesting something is wrong, and someone equally convinced that it is not wrong, wrangling over this issue, as both of them ignored the blessings of knowing Christ. Regardless of what they think they can eat or not to drink. 1 Corinthians 8:8, but meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. If you think eating or drinking something or not eating or drinking something improves your relationship with God, have you even understood the grace of God in Christ? And friends, this is not an endorsement of intemperance. Because you cannot be intemperate to the glory of God with anything. But partaking of food or abstaining of food from food cannot merit anything from God or draw us closer to Him, because it's only through Christ. And it's only through Christ and the grace of God in Christ that enables us to approach God, believer, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I need him today as much as I needed him yesterday, and I will need him forever to be able to approach God, not what I eat or what I don't eat. Believer, I do not know how many strange and unbiblical doctrines you are going to be exposed to this week. But I know the only one who will keep you from being deceived and misled by any of them, the Lord Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Who or what are you approaching God through? Through something you have done? Or something you have not physically done, or through faith alone in the finished work of Christ alone. The finished work of Christ alone is the only way into the presence of God, not something you have done or doing or think you need to do or not do with food. What feeds your never dying soul, believer? Truth about Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, or forever, or the false teachings of flesh pleasing, addicted men? Who feeds your soul today? Let us pray. Oh Lord, without your word, we are so mixed up. Without your word, we will be misled, deceived, not only from others, but from our own hearts. If you do not keep us close to your word, who knows what we would believe? And so I ask that you would help us to never be ashamed of saying, what saith the Scriptures? What saith the Scriptures about what I am hearing today or hearing tomorrow? When a coworker, when a newscaster, when I read an article, as I read it, Lord, may I, my mind be open to the truth of your word. And when I read something and that says something that contradicts the word, may help me not to block it out of my mind and say, oh, it's not that serious. Oh, Lord, it is serious. When a teaching contradicts your word and the word of your son, it is a very serious thing. And so keep us, oh, Lord, by your grace. Keep us students of your word, never being ashamed of being corrected and helped, not only by your word, but even by a fellow brother or sister who would take us privately, as Apollos was taken aside by Priscilla and Aquila. Oh Lord, if we are ever afraid to have what we believe examined by the word of God, we are in danger of being deceived. Help us not to just be hearers of your word today. Help me not just to be a preacher, but as we go from this place, may the word of truth dwell richly in us, that we can stand fast in these days where men will talk about everything and anything but the truth of your word. Grant us by your grace the help we need every day through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.